this line, at least I think most of you must have heard this, puna punas charvita charvanam, repeatedly chewing that which has already been chewed. The full verse is translated as follows. Prahlad Maharaj replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. We've all heard Prabhupada saying that every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is so much beneficial to the human society. So we see these verses, every word full of meaning. Natiya na Krishna, mati, rati mati, is in Bengali poetry, Vaishnava poetry, you'll hear. Rati mati, these two words go together. Guru, what is that? Sri Guru Charanye Rati. Rati means strong feeling of attachment. And mati is a similar word. Inclination. What is our inclination? What is our inclination towards? So this is very much connected with the position of the mind. Man. Man mati. The mind has two functions. One is sankalpa, acceptance. Another is vikalpa, rejection. So according to the position of our mind, we tend to accept some things and reject other things. The devotee, he accepts those things which are favorable for Krishna's service. Anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya vajanam. He accepts which is favorable to Krishna's service and rejects that which is unfavorable. The process of devotional service here is mentioned. How one should accept shelter of a mahat. One should accept shelter of a great devotee. So a great devotee means one who trains the follower in service attitude to Krishna. What does he train the devotee in? What does the devotee train the follower in?
What devotee train?
What I just said, but you weren't listening.
Krishna.
That I'm asking you because I could see you weren't listening. So our mati, our inclination, first of all, has to be to hear very carefully. Otherwise, there's no benefit. Otherwise, you'll find ants crawling in this room. Also, the sound is entering their ear of the class. Some benefit may be there. But unless one hears, it cannot be proper benefit. So the inclination of the devotee is to serve Krishna. And the inclination of the non-devotee is described in this verse. His inclination is, I will never serve Krishna under any circumstances. Just like a devotee, I will never give up the service of Krishna under any circumstances. And a demon, under any circumstances, he will not serve Krishna. Even, you will go to hell. All right, let me go to hell. But I won't serve Krishna. I'd rather go to hell. Yes, there are people like that, just like someone, he was engaged in very sinful activities. Tantric. These tantrics, they do very horrible things. Just like they offer human sacrifice to Kali to get some power from her. Sometimes you may find some tantric in the jungle and some of them will come to, oh, Swamiji, oh, very nice you've come. Please come, you're welcome. And next night, on new moon night, should be for tantrics, will be offered to Kali. So, one time one of our devotees was asking tantric, why are you doing this? He said, because we get some power. Durga is the controller of the material energy, so we get some power. But don't you know that you'll also be punished by Durga? The picture is there, if you see. Now you've been in so many houses, you must have seen. In Gujarat, people, they like to worship Krishna and also Jayambe, mother. And mother is also punishing. You see, she has this trident, three modes of material nature. And the demon, got by the hair, you're going to kill. The demon is coming, Oh, mother, give me. Yes, mother will give you and also punish. Kind mother. So, Tantric was asked, don't you consider sinful, so many sinful activities you're doing? Of course, not every Tantric is making human sacrifice, but generally horrible things they do, which there's no need to discuss here. Yes, that is the way of material life. We will get some power from Durga, and afterwards we will suffer. They know you have to suffer. Also in Thailand, I used to see Buddhists. So, in Thailand, people are very fond of eating pigs and many other things also, which again, we should not discuss in Srimad Bhagavatam class. Not very suitable. So don't you know that in your next life you'll become a pig by eating pigs? Yes, it's all right. Then we'll enjoy it as a pig also. They're also enjoying it. Becoming fat, enjoying eating all things. So this is an example of those whose mati, whose inclination is never inclined towards Krishna. Even they know, janaya shunya bhisha kainam. They know, knowingly, they drink poison. Oh, this is poison? Oh, alright. Oh, by sinful activities I'll go to hell? Okay. So much foolish. So much foolish, just like the goat. Before going to slaughter, so many goats are going one after the other, one after the other, one after the other, to slaughter. So let us enjoy sex before the slaughter. You see, everyone's going to be slaughtered. All right, let's make the best use of a bad bargain. Let us enjoy. In 5 minutes, my throat will be cut. So let me enjoy sex. Now there's something. You don't think how to escape. There was one song, I was remembering this. So many songs. Those who brought up in the Western world, they know there's rock music or different kinds of music. So many songs are sung. So there's one song I remember, that one long song by the, anyway, no use. So they're saying, very good analysis they have made, that every moment of life is precious, and once it's gone, it won't come back again. So very good analysis. Therefore, their conclusion is, so let me kiss you. Let me get a girl and kiss her, because time is short. Not have much time. So we should utilize every moment in the best way. Let us enjoy while you can. Many times they find, you see, all over the world, young people are taking to Krishna consciousness. I remember when I first joined this movement, I was out on the street in London with a book bag. This is a tourist area, so the photographers come, these professional photographers. What they do, they have a camera with no film inside, and they catch people, tourists, and they say, oh, I'll take a photo of you. And you give me your address and I'll send you the photo. So they take money from them and there's no film inside. Simply they take the address and the money, that's all. Right? Then they throw away the address. So these photographers, they don't like us because we also catch the tourists. So many innocent people come to London. And in their innocence, we take their money from them and give them books. And they don't like, because they think, well, if the Hare Krishnas get them, then maybe they won't give money to us. So he was going to discuss and say, oh, how long have you been in this movement? Oh, about 2 weeks. Oh, you won't last long. You won't last. You're young. You should enjoy life. So many people will say, why? When you're old, you become Krishna conscious. It's all right, you become Krishna conscious. But now you're young, you should enjoy. You should use your... God has given you. And another Brahmin in South India, he was professing this philosophy, we met him, that there are 6 different kinds of tastes. So we should... God has given them, so we should enjoy them all. Given by God, so we should enjoy. So this idea, you're young, you should enjoy. When you're old, then you can do. Then you should become God conscious, when you're about to die. So there's so many different ideas are invented. When I am old, I will become Krishna conscious. Or another idea you'll find, this is very common in Hinduism, people will say, when God gives me His mercy, then I will follow His instructions. Then I'll become Krishna conscious. Well, the mercy is already there, but they have no inclination to take it because Matiya na Krishna. No inclination. Mercy is there. How is God giving His mercy? By giving His books, giving instructions, sending His devotees. In so many ways He gives mercy. His mercy means His instructions. But, oh, when God gives me His mercy. In other words, they blame, not my fault I'm not Krishna conscious. It's God's fault because He doesn't give me His mercy. It's all His fault. I like to be Krishna conscious. God's not giving me any mercy. So, what can I do? I have to go on enjoying material life. So, this is all rascaldom. To summarize, it is all rascaldom. What is it?
Rascaldom.
You heard that word, okay. It's all rascaldom. What Prahlad Maharaj is summarizing here, all rascaldom. The people who determine not to be Krishna conscious because they're very much addicted to sense gratification. We must go to hell. We must not go back to home, back to mother, back to Krishna. This again we find very commonly that someone's son is a womanizer, drunkard, taking drugs, so many different things. And they're living on the street like a bum. Then they decide, all right, let me join the Hare Krishna movement. And immediately their parents become very disturbed. Why, he's joining the Hare Krishna movement. Very bad. Why don't you live a normal life? They're living a completely degraded life. The parents, they're not so happy, but they're not so disturbed. It is normal, everyone does it. I also did it. But after some time, they'll become, when they grow up a little bit, then they'll become a normal person and get a job. But this joining the Hare Krishna movement, very serious, very bad, very bad. One of our devotees, he's now guru in our society, he told me when he joined this movement, his father, he brought a prostitute. He came to see him, bringing a prostitute. And he said, he told him, look, here's one girl, whatever girls you want, I'll arrange. I'm an expert in this, I'm very experienced, so whatever girls you want, you come, I'll arrange for you. But then when he went away, without his son, because he already paid the prostitutes, I guess, didn't want to waste his money, I don't know what he did. Anyway, he went away without his son. He was convinced that this Krishna consciousness is total insanity. Who would refuse? Young man, come with a beautiful girl, and offer, take. You have to, so much endeavor you have to go, you see. The students at Vala Vidyanagar, they're just totally frustrated because they're surrounded by beautiful young girls on the college campus, but they can't get. So they're frustrated. Everyone's wondering, beautiful young girls. And here, the father is coming. Here, take, take. No. So you must be completely mad. You must be completely mad. So this is what's going on. Between Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu, this difference of opinion. What is your inclination? Hiranyakashipu's inclination? No, I will not become Krishna conscious. Nor I want anybody else to become Krishna conscious, especially not my own son. If anyone else wants to become Krishna conscious, they can do, and I'll cut their head off. But my own son, he should not become Krishna conscious. It's a disgrace on the family. Hiranyakashipu said, this is a disgrace to our family. We come from a very prestigious family of demons. We have to uphold our prestige. What will people think if my own son goes against the national interest, family interest? He becomes a turncoat, a rascal. And Prahlad, he didn't care. Simply, he told Hiranyakashipu, you don't like what I'm doing, I don't like what you're doing. And why? He gave a good reason. That you're going to go to hell, my dear father, by your activities, you're going to go to hell. You're going to suffer. People like you, people who follow you, they suffer. Of course, Hiranyakashipu was delivered by Prahlad. That was his great fortune, that a great devotee was born from his semen. That is his great fortune. But those who are the followers of Hiranyakashipu, they have to suffer immensely and intensely. And again and again and again, they have to suffer. So Prahlad is preaching. He's in the most difficult circumstances. He's preaching. Of course, preaching means there must be some difficult circumstances because we're going among the followers of Hiranyakashipu. Or even, we see here in India, people have a tendency to be pious, but they're influenced by the followers of Hiranyakashipu. That influences them. Otherwise, people in this country are meant to be pious. So they have so many wrong ideas. So giving them these books, that means to give them the right idea that people can understand. Chanting, they're attracted to. Practically, you'll find, especially in Gujarat, any sadhu comes, immediately they welcome, whatever his idea is. Maybe Swami Narayan or Asharam Bapu, anything. They like sadhus. You'll find so many sadhus in Gujarat, come from North India. Because they know, Gujarati people, they like sadhus. If you go, they'll feed you, they'll respect you, everything. So that tendency is there. That tendency is there to respect sadhus. But unfortunately, most of these sadhus, they are in the sampradaya of Hiranyakashipu. They're not properly formed. Just like you see, Hiranyakashipu again became Ravana. And Ravana, what did he do? He dressed up as a sadhu to cheat Sita. So in the same way, so many sadhus are coming. For my Hindi study, I was reading about one book by Swami Ramsukhdas, who's famous as a great teacher of bhakti. His books are published by this Gita Press. I got a good insight into why people, Hindi-speaking people, don't become Krishna conscious, because they read Gita Press books. So he writes so many nice things that you are taking shelter of your home, your wife, your children, but you should take shelter of Paramatma. He likes to use the word Paramatma, not Krishna. But then he says that just as we are dependent upon Paramatma for our existence, so Paramatma is dependent upon us for his existence. Just as without the Paramatma, our life has no meaning, so the Paramatma without the Jivas also has no meaning. So this is rascal. He's presenting bhakti, but why Paramatma is just, he's crippled without us. No, it's completely wrong idea. We are totally dependent on God. He's not at all dependent upon us. He thinks that God is just something like us. He's got the wrong idea. And this is very, very dangerous. In the name of bhakti, you should surrender to God, they're writing. You should take shelter of him. Everything else is temporary. And then what is God? He's just, he's dependent on us as we are dependent on him. This is all rascal. They want to drag him down to our level. So in so many ways, they're teaching the wrong idea. Therefore, the right idea has to be given. Prabhupada's books is the right idea. Every word, every line, clearly the right idea. And the effect is there, very definitely. The effect is there. Just like I see, now I'm just speaking privately, it's not for repeating, that our professor who's teaching me Hindi, he's a very nice, pious man with the idea, he's not interested in material aggrandizement. He's not interested in name, fame, money, prestige. He's interested in serving, and he's very much, his life is dedicated to serving others, and he's very much enthralled, even after so many years of seeing our ISKCON devotees. Still, he's very much impressed that Western people can give up all their opulence and come to India to preach Krishna bhakti. So he likes the spirit of bhakti and all these things. But at the same time, because he was brought up in such a way, he's very much leaning, tendency towards impersonalism. He's not envious in that, not naturally envious, but because he's been brought up in that way, people in that, especially in that time, if they're to read spiritual literature or to hear spiritual topics, they'll hear the impersonal idea. So, even though all good inclinations are there, the wrong idea. So, giving Prabhupada's books means to give the right idea. And we see, you'll see this, that generally those who are younger now in India, they've got this Shankaracharya, Vivekananda, all these impersonal ideas. They're not much influence, not like the previous generation. You may think they're much influence, but compared to the previous generation, they're much, 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 much better. This is definitely due to the influence of Prabhupada's movement, Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, how has it come? It doesn't just come automatically. It wasn't just like, how did everyone in India become so much influenced by impersonalism? It wasn't just all of a sudden just happened, but because Shankaracharya preached, and then Vivekananda became very prominent because they thought he'd done such a wonderful thing. He went to Chicago and said, "My dear brothers and sisters," and everyone, "What a wonderful thing to say, my dear brothers and sisters." People say, "Oh, what a wonderful thing to say." Everyone, they can quote this line from Vivekananda's speech, "My dear brothers and sisters." And as a result of that, people think he's so wonderful. So he's become very prominent because he went and preached in the Western countries. Actually, even from the external point, what did he do? He had one famous follower from the Western countries who was a woman, and that's all. That's, what's her name? Sister Nivedita, some Irish, some stupid woman. So that was all. That's the, in America, if you say Vivekananda, no one's heard of him. No one's heard. Had you ever heard of Vivekananda when you were playing your drums in Croatia?
No.
You ever heard of him? No. No one's ever heard of him. You heard of Krishna, Hare Krishna? Yeah, so no one's ever. But they think, oh, yes. So he became very much advertised as a great spiritual leader who influenced the Western countries. So people, they look up to him highly, and he's all rubbish, rascal, nonsense ideas. As Prabhupada points out in that book, Sword of Knowledge, that's translated from Bengali, the Shankaracharya. Maybe you don't see them again. But how much influential that is, we can see. I'm seeing myself, how much change. In the Western countries also, so much change. How people, there are so many people, they're at least they accept the principles of reincarnation and become vegetarian. Of course, there's a lot of work to do. But definitely, Prabhupada's books are having their effect. These books are going out. Prabhupada, in his books, he's just so clear and strong, to the point. Everything, this Bhagavad Gita as it is, that is like a hammer for every wrong idea, especially in that Bhagavad Gita as it is. Demigod worship, impersonalism has been completely smashed, and cheating religion, everything, and established again and again and again. That devotional service to Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, very clearly drummed in. So even anyone who reads that book, they may not understand, because after all, they may not understand all the points, because after all, it's deep philosophy, and to understand everything is not so easy. But if they read, they'll get, if you read Bhagavad Gita as it is, then again and again and again, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrender to him, everything else is useless, which is what Krishna is saying, which is why it's called Bhagavad Gita as it is. So anyone who reads that is certainly going to get the right idea, even if they don't follow it completely. Just like yesterday, I was speaking with one lawyer. So he's an intelligent man. In lawyers, they deal in ideas, concepts, arguments. A lawyer has to understand what is the essence of any situation. So he's understood. He's not following means. He's vegetarian, this and that, but he's not chanting 16 rounds. Yesterday he promised to chant 16 rounds. But anyway, he got the point. By reading Prabhupada's books, he got the point that yes, devotional service to Krishna is the only auspicious path. Everything else is useless. Everyone else is cheating. And we find that. Even in Bangladesh, where the people are, they're inclined to kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, but they're also very much inclined to sahajyaism, bogus ideas, bogus gurus. And even, actually, I spent many years there fighting with our devotees who were saying, well, we shouldn't speak strongly, we should just be nice to people. And I said, no, we should tell. Everything else is cheating. So we're finding that even though our devotees, they just go out and they do some kind of a show, and they don't. They give some lecture and everyone says, oh, very nice, but they don't speak very strongly the truth. that all your fish eating is rascaldom and bogus, and all your gurus are bogus because they don't tell you not to eat fish. They themselves eat fish. So many things. But even so, our devotees are shocked that people come in saying that they're telling them, I've read Prabhupada's books, and that from reading Prabhupada's books, which you sold me, thank you, it was very kind of you, from reading Prabhupada's books, I understand that all these gurus are cheating us. Why don't you tell people? They're understanding from reading Prabhupada's books. They get the idea very clearly, very straightforwardly, despite so much conditioning. That conditioning, millions of lifetimes, and even in this lifetime, so much conditioning. The words just go, Prabhupada's words, they just cut through. Those who are sincere, as Prabhupada said, those who are sincere, they will appreciate these books, which again brings us to the point of this class. Those who are not sincere, they won't take this. They won't take Krishna consciousness very seriously. Those who are more sincere, when they get these books, they appreciate very much. It's like in Russia now, so many letters are coming that I read your book. Now I feel that 40 years of my life I lived in complete darkness. Now for the first time, I'm getting some real knowledge. Please send me all your books. Please, like so many letters are coming every day. People who have just been reading the book. Oh, this is reality. Vithayatam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. And Krishna says, anything which is not in relationship to me, anything which is conceived as being not in relationship with me, because everything is in relationship with Krishna. But the consciousness that something is separate from Krishna, that is, what is it? It's all useless. Any idea that is not in Krishna consciousness is all useless. So actually people are living uselessly. Without Krishna, it's useless. And devotees, they can see that. Devotees, they're living among the people, they're living in the town, going to the villages, they also eat, sleep, pastule, all these things. So they may seem like ordinary people, but their consciousness is different. They see how everyone is wasting their life, how they're wasting their time, how they're struggling, uselessly endeavoring for that which is of no benefit to them. Therefore, the devotee, he lives among the people for the purpose of uplifting them, which is another very important verse of Prahlad Maharaj. No, it doesn't come just here. It comes later on. That's in the prayers of Prahlad, where he says that, what is that verse? Molam charanti vichane naparatam ishtam. What is that verse? How does that begin? Svabhi mukti kama monam charanti vichane naparatanishtam sho chetato vimukhasa. What is it? So chetato. No, it's the same. I'm lamenting for them. Sho chetato vimukhasam naparatanishtam. Prahlad Maharaj says that, my dear Lord, I'm quite satisfied being your devotee, but Prayena Deva Munihai says there are many. I don't want to be limited. Yes, he says that. He says that there are many sadhus, they're simply content to do their own bhajan. But as far as I am concerned, I see everyone is suffering in material life. I'm not interested in my own liberation. Let me do something to help others, to get them liberated. So this mood of Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada, in 1976, he was translating these books and giving class. What used to happen, Prabhupada used to give class on the Bhagavatam, the section he was translating. So it was some books which we never had, we'd never seen. So it's very exciting to hear, what is this? Something we didn't know. We didn't know the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada was telling day by day. So devotees are saying, Prabhupada, this is exactly, Prabhupada is exactly in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Means he has this mood that I don't want to be liberated myself. Let all the others be liberated. Let me work hard to liberate them. And then preaching strongly against the demoniac civilization with great compassion to save them. Prabhupada was completely absorbed, especially when he was translating this section. He was completely absorbed in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Let me save others. Let me do something to save others. And depending on Krishna, that others, people may be against us, they may reject us. Let us do what we can to save others. So the whole thing is just changing the inclination. Our inclination is towards material life. But the business of the devotee is to bring his inclination towards Krishna. That means training. Training means taking instruction and applying that in our life. And that's for ourselves, making our own mati, our own inclination towards Krishna. Krishna mati rastu. Vaishnav, sannyasi, gives blessings. People come approaching for blessings. Yes, this is the blessing. May you be Krishna conscious. And someone who's already in Krishna consciousness, they come to sannyasi for blessing. Krishna mati rahu. May you remain in Krishna consciousness. So the whole thing, the inclination, our own inclination has to be brought towards Krishna by the process of devotional service, applying our mind in devotional service. And duty of the devotee is to very carefully hear and chant about Krishna so that his inclinations will go towards Krishna. Otherwise, his inclinations will go towards everything, vritayartham, that which is not in relationship with Krishna, that which is nonsense. Otherwise, our inclinations will go towards karmi food, karmi music, sports, all kinds of nonsense. Because we're not training our consciousness in Krishna consciousness. So, vritayartham, everything which is not in relation, conceived of in relation to Krishna, that should be given up. And the whole world going on this idea, let us be separate from Krishna. Devotee's duty is to try to bring the people around. Bring them around to Krishna. Bring them into Krishna consciousness. Going, chanting, people will be attracted. Even those who are not attracted, they will hear, that will enter their consciousness. Even those who are not attracted to chanting, they'll become attracted by hearing again and again. We see that in different parts of the world. Many demoniac people who hate the chanting, by exposure again and again, our devotees, if they go in the same city, again and again and again for months and years, you'll find some people protest. They don't like it, but after some time, they also become attracted. They can't help themselves, because the very nature of Krishna consciousness is that it's all attractive, because Krishna is all attractive. So in this regard, I have a collection here of quotes from Prabhupada about this. So I'd like to read just one of them, which gives a little encouragement to book distribution and preaching. This is a letter from Prabhupada, written in 1972. My dear Sudama, please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter dated November the 14th, 1972. November the 14th. And I've noted the contents with care. Yes, we shall base our preaching work on Lord Chaitanya's formula, Sankirtan. I believe this was in reply because they'd done some kind of theatrical performance with, they had rock music and all kinds of special effects and all this kind of thing. So Prabhupada wasn't against it, but it seemed that there would have been some problem with that. So Prabhupada says, we shall base our preaching work on Lord Chaitanya's formula, Sankirtan. After all, he is God, and if he recommends, what is the question of failure? That is not possible. If we simply stick to this program as I have done it since the beginning, namely kirtan, preaching, kirtan, distribution of prasadam. If you do like this only, that will be sufficient. Of course, you may make the kirtan as nice as possible with dancing, many calls, kartals, conches, and if you preach sincerely, anyone will listen and become convinced. The potency of Krishna consciousness movement does not come from some outside showing. No, it is the transcendental sound vibration of Hare Krishna mantra and the words of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. So now go on and develop the things in this spirit. That will be nice. We are not interested to attract millions of men to see some show. Better we attract one sincere soul to join us in ecstatic chanting and hearing. That will be of real value. And distribute books, as many as possible. If anyone hears something philosophy from us, that will help him. But if he purchases one book, that may turn his life. So selling books is the best preaching activities. Sell books, hold a kirtan in public places like schools and colleges, preach. If you practice these things and try to improve them more and more, simply by your practicing sincerely, that simple program will please Krishna the most, and you will see that very soon. Hoping this meets you in good health, your ever well wisher, E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So Prabhupada is saying that we're not interested in attracting millions of men to see some show. Rather, if we attract only one sincere soul by sincerely preaching, that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that we don't want many people to come. We do. But the point is, we don't want many people to come just to say, just see, I'm such a big preacher, and so many people are coming. We should keep our message very pure, preach very sincerely. So we want many people to come, but to the right point. In India or anywhere, if you preach a little bit watered down, just like in India, if you buy milk, you'll find that it's watered down. Put water in the milk. So you can sell it at a cheaper price, like this. And those who are cheap, they will buy cheap price, watery milk. So we can get many people if we just water things down a bit. We just don't preach anything very clearly. Just, yes, whatever you're doing is okay, and everything's nice, and tell a few stories, and tell people, oh, you're a great devotee, even though he knows nothing about the principles of devotional service. If you flatter people, many people will come. If you give the real thing, maybe not so many will come. But we want real devotees. This is the point. So, I think the preaching field you're moving in, you have a nice combination of people. You'll find many people are enthusiastic, and they will take the real thing. Only they need some guidance. But we shouldn't adjust things to make it artificially more palatable. Krishna consciousness, surrender to Krishna, that is the most palatable thing. If people don't feel inclined towards that, that is because they're diseased. So we should give the real thing in such a way that they can come to understand and accept that the real thing is Krishna consciousness, surrender to Krishna. So there are many such levels like this, which I've got written out here, so time to time I can read some of these letters. Hare Krishna.
This verse, you know, just especially the verse, I remember not exactly sure where it's, but Srila Prabhupada speak about these two words, you know, Charvati, Charvanam, which you said
repeatedly. He would.
Maybe one may have known the specific context. Prabhupada would use them about sugarcane, these.
Right.
Some person is chewing sugarcane and he throws it away, and someone else. Well, there may be some.
There might be something there.
So in the same way, so many people, Charvanam, everyone's been chewing it repeatedly since day one, forever.
Since
their
time
ancestors, your ancestors, all our ancestors, their ancestors, they've all been
chewing the chew.
Chewing away.
Enthusiastically.
But still, they can't hear the Krishna.
No juice. No juice in material life. Juice is enchanting and dancing. People will appreciate that also. In India, they'll appreciate it. Even the Western countries also. People can see there's something real, happiness there, that we're not getting. Here, they'll appreciate also that so many sadhus. Some people, sometimes they say that to us. And so many people come and they speak and this and that, but only you have this chanting and dancing.
Chanting is the magic. They have some chanting in, you know, part of the museums in what we call it, mall in Los Angeles. There was one devotee down here, I think he was saying, he quoted Srila Prabhupada saying, chanting is the magic.
I think he made a cassette called that. Yeah, he did. No, sorry, advertised. Chanting is the magic.
I like that you said, you know, you don't have to compromise or change, you know, make our system more attractive. Personally, I feel more attractive by the system of Vishnu Jan Swami and Kirtan Yudhichala colleges than present. I mean, different persons, they have a lot of rock and roll groups, and they put their Krishna conscious lyrics. To me, and I can see the result, at least in terms of members of devotees made, Vishnu Jan Swami, they had a lot more happening. Mm-hmm. 12, how many buses they had each other on the USA. And there are different, many different groups they traveled in different places, but in terms of actually how many people have changed, or drastically changing their lives, I don't think
they did. Well, it's said that that will attract people who are so far out that they won't listen to Hare Krishna Kirtan at all. But it's a fact that the chanting of Ganga cuts off. That's what Prabhupada is saying in this also. So like anything else, it may have its usage, but we should never think that that's the same as chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah. No, never. This is the essence of our movement. Chanting, kirtan, sankirtan, chanting with Danga, kirtan. There's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the essence. Even books we're distributing, but we're asking people, we're not expecting that everyone will become a book distributor. We're hoping that everyone will chant Hare Krishna. And the books, book distribution, that's the soldiers on the front lines. They do. But not everyone is going to be. Of course, even grihasthas living at home, they can do it, they can help with that. But the essence, everyone has to chant Hare Krishna. That is the essence. Is the essence of the essence. So everyone should chant Hare Krishna. And books that will change people's hearts, books and the chanting will change people's hearts so that they can become convinced to take up this chanting seriously. Yeah, the chanting, that change people's hearts, and that's very attractive to people. But to get their mati, their intonation fixed, they need philosophy also. They need the books. Both things are essential. And prasad and distribution. Also very much. That was his whole program. Yeah.
The personally books himself, and he encouraged the Goswamis to write books, his all Jihad Mahaprabhu.
Right, his books. His first followers, he had them, he didn't, his first followers who he sent for setting up this movement, the first thing he had them do was write books. The first thing he didn't send them, he sent Nityananda traveling, preaching, like this. He sent Nityananda for preaching, but for establishing his movement, he first wrote the books. He had the Goswamis write the books, and then the Jiva Goswami sent Narottam Srini Ashramananda, go and distribute this knowledge. So Chaitanya, he personally instructed Rupa and Sanatana. This is what you should write. Hari Bhakti Vilas, among other things. Out of that's required also. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda traveling widely, encouraging people, take it up. Then he wanted Rupa and Sanatana to write books. This is what, now you're taking it up, this is what you should do to solidify your devotional practices, and to give the philosophy so that people can understand. Otherwise, otherwise, it wouldn't have lasted. It can't last. Without proper philosophical understanding, it won't last. It won't continue. That's why our devotees, they also have to study very carefully. It's like I was telling Niketa, she studied 2 hours a day. 2 hours you may not be able to do if you're out in the village, this and that. As a general principle, you should try to do that. At least 1 hour a day. And if you can't, then on your free day, there should be some free days also where you can, some free time, you should read extra. Very important, most important, study these books. Any more? A lot of comments?
You were talking about here in Gujarat, people are that kind of mind for all over India. So it's a scratch Indian Prabhupada said that the Maya, also the Maya body philosophy promoted the modern materialistic So I had a realization that these people who have this, affected by Vivekananda and Ramakrishna and all these other Maya bodies, because that their preaching, whatever they call it, it did not really satisfy their hearts.
Yeah.
That's why I thought it promotes materialism, because then they become disgusted and then they stick to the mundane sense.
There's no higher taste. There's no higher taste. So they must then come to lower taste.
Lecture given by His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami, recorded on 22nd January 1996 in Baroda, Gujarat, India.
Very important verse we're going to read. You can, of course, you don't have the book to see, so anyway, this is one of the verses that is learned by preachers, so you can bear this in mind as we chant. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 30, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. But, you know, only one book, so I'll chant. Shri Praharaduvacha Matyena Krishne Paratasvatova
Matyena Krishne Paratasvatova
Yitho Pihadyeta Griha Vratanam
Yitho Pihadyeta Griha Vratanam
Adanta Gobhye Vishatanta Misram
Adanta Gobhye Vishatanta Misram
Munah Munah Charvita Charvananam
Munah Munah Charvita Charvananam.
This line, at least I think most of you must have heard this, puna punas charvita charvananam, repeatedly chewing that which has already been chewed. The full verse is translated as follows. Prahlad Maharaj replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. We've all heard Prabhupada saying that every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is so much beneficial to the human society. So we see these verses, every word full of meaning. Matyena Krishna, Mati, Rati, Mati is in Bengali poetry, Vaishnava poetry, you'll hear. Rati, Mati, these two words go together. Is it Guru, or what is that? Sri Guru Charane Rati. Rati means strong feeling of attachment. And Mati is a similar word. Inclination. What is our inclination? What is our inclination towards? So this is very much connected with the position of the mind. Man. Man, Mati. Mind has two functions. One is sankalpa, acceptance. Another is vikalpa, rejection. So according to the position of our mind, we tend to accept some things and reject other things. The devotee, he accepts those things which are favorable for Krishna's service. Anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya vajanam. He accepts which is favorable to Krishna's service and rejects that which is unfavorable. The process of devotional service here is mentioned. How one should accept shelter of a mahat. One should accept shelter of a great devotee. So a great devotee means one who trains the follower in service attitude to Krishna. What does he train the devotee in? What does the devotee train the follower in?
What devotee train?
What I just said, but you weren't listening.
Krishna.
That I'm asking you because I could see you weren't listening. So our mati, our inclination, first of all, has to be to hear very carefully. Otherwise, there's no benefit. Otherwise, you'll find ants crawling in this room. Also, the sound is entering their ear of the class. Some benefit may be there. But unless one hears, it cannot be proper benefit. So the inclination of the devotee is to serve Krishna. And the inclination of the non-devotee is described in this verse. His inclination is, I will never serve Krishna under any circumstances. Just like a devotee, I will never give up the service of Krishna under any circumstances. And a demon, under any circumstances, he will not serve Krishna. Even, you will go to hell. All right, let me go to hell. But I won't serve Krishna. I'd rather go to heaven. Yes, there are people like that, just like someone who is engaged in very sinful activities. Tantric. These tantrics, they do very horrible things. Just like they offer human sacrifice to Kali to get some power from them. Sometimes you may find some tantric in the jungle and someone will come to, oh, Swamiji, oh, very nice you've come. Please come, you're welcome. And next night, on new moon night, should be for tantrics, will be offered to Kali. So, one time one of our devotees was asking tantric, why are you doing this? He said, because we get some power. Durga is the controller of the material energy, so we get some power. But don't you know that you'll also be punished by Durga? The picture is there. If you see, now you've been in so many houses, you must have seen. In Gujarat, people, they like to worship Krishna and also Jayambe, mother. And mother is also punishing. You see, she has this trident, three modes of material nature. And the demon, got by the hair, you're going to kill. The demon is coming. Oh, mother, give me. Yes, mother will give you and also punish. Kind mother. So, tantric was asked, don't you consider sinful, so many sinful activities you're doing? Of course, not every tantric is making human sacrifice, but generally horrible things they do, which there's no need to discuss here. Yes, that is the way of material life. We will get some power from Durga, and afterwards we will suffer. They know you have to suffer. Also in Thailand, I used to see Buddhists. So, in Thailand, people are very fond of eating pigs and many other things also, which again, we should not discuss in Srimad Bhagavatam class. It's not very suitable. So don't you know that in your next life you'll become a pig by eating pigs? Yes, it's all, then we'll enjoy as a pig also. They're also enjoying becoming fat, enjoying eating all things. So this is an example of those whose mati, whose inclination is never inclined towards Krishna. Even they know, janiya shunya visha kainam. They know, knowingly, they drink poison. Oh, this is poison? Oh, all right. Oh, by sinful activities I'll go to hell? Okay. So much foolish. So much foolish, just like the goat. Before going to slaughter, So many goats are going one after the other, one after the other, one after the other, to slaughter. So let us enjoy sex before the slaughter. You see, everyone's going to be slaughtered. All right, let's make the best use of a bad bargain. Let us enjoy. In 5 minutes, my throat will be cut. So let me enjoy sex. Now there's something. You don't think how to escape. There was one song, I was remembering this. So many songs. Those who are brought up in the Western world, they know there's rock music or different kinds of music. So many songs are sung. So there was one song, I remember, that one long song by the... Anyway, no use. One group is fine. So they're saying, very good analysis they have made, that every moment of life is precious, and once it's gone, it won't come back again. So very good analysis. Therefore, their conclusion is, so let me kiss you. Let me get a girl and kiss her, because time is short. Not have much time. So we should utilize every moment in the best way. Let us enjoy. Enjoy while you can. Many times they find, you see, all over the world, young people are taking to Krishna consciousness. I remember when I first joined this movement, I was out on the street in London with a book bag. And this is a tourist area, so the photographers come, these professional photographers. What they do, they have a camera with no film inside. And they catch people, tourists, and they say, oh, I'll take a photo of you. And you give me your address and I'll send you the photo. So they take money from them and there's no film inside. Simply they take the address and the money, that's all. Right? Then they throw away the address. That's it. So these photographers, they don't like us because we also catch the tourists. So many innocent people come to London. And in their innocence, we take their money from them and give them books. And they don't like because they think, well, if the Hare Krishnas get them, then maybe they won't give money to us. So he was going to the discussion and say, oh, how long have you been in this movement? Oh, about 2 weeks. Oh, you won't last long. You won't last. You're young. You should enjoy life. So many people say, why? When you're old, you become Krishna conscious. It's all right. You become Krishna conscious. But now you're young, you should enjoy. You should use your... God has given you. There's another Brahmin in South India. He was professing this philosophy. You met him. That there are 6 different kinds of tastes. So we should... God has given them. So we should enjoy them all. Given by God. You should enjoy. So this idea, you're young, you should enjoy. When you're old, then you can do. Then you should become God conscious. When you're about to die. So there's so many different ideas are invented. When I am old, I will become Krishna conscious. Or another idea you'll find, this is very common in Hinduism, people will say, when God gives me His mercy, then I will follow His instructions. Then I become Krishna conscious. Well, the mercy is already there, but they have no inclination to take it because Matiya na Krishna. No inclination. Mercy is there. How is God giving His mercy? By giving His books, giving instructions, sending His devotees. In so many ways He gives mercy. His mercy means His instructions. But, oh, when God gives me His mercy. In other words, they blame, not my fault I'm not Krishna conscious. It's God's fault because He doesn't give me His mercy. It's all His fault. I'd like to be Krishna conscious. God's not giving me any mercy. So, what can I do? I have to go on enjoying material life. So, this is all rascaldom. To summarize, it is all rascaldom. What is it?
Rascaldom.
You heard that word, okay. It's all rascaldom. What Prahlad Maharaj is summarizing here, all rascaldom. The people determined not to be Krishna conscious because they're very much addicted to sense gratification. We must go to hell. You must not go back to home, back to Krishna. This again we find very commonly that someone's son is a womanizer, drunkard, taking drugs, so many different things. And they're living on the street like a bum. Then they decide, all right, let me join the Hare Krishna movement. And immediately their parents become very disturbed. Why, he's joining the Hare Krishna movement. Very bad. Why don't you live a normal life? They're living a completely degraded life. Their parents, they're not so happy, but they're not so disturbed. It is normal. Everyone does it. I also did it. And after some time, they'll become, when they grow up a little bit, then they'll become a normal person and get a job. But this joining the Hare Krishna movement, very serious, very bad, very bad. One of our devotees, he's now guru in our society, he told me when he joined this movement, his father, he brought a prostitute. He came to see him, bringing a prostitute. And he said, he told him, look, here's one girl, whatever girls you want, I'll arrange. I'm an expert in this, I'm very experienced, so whatever girls you want, you come, I'll arrange for you. But he was, then when he went away without his son, because he already paid the prostitutes, I guess, didn't want to waste his money, I don't know what he did. Anyway, he went away without his son, he was convinced that this Krishna consciousness is total insanity. Who would refuse? Young man, you come with a beautiful girl, and you offer, take. You have to, so much endeavor you have to go, you see. The students at Vallabhidyanaga, they're just totally frustrated because they're surrounded by beautiful young girls on the college campus, but they can't get, so they're frustrated. Everyone's wanting beautiful young girls. And here, the father is coming. Here, take, take. No. So you must be completely mad. You must be completely mad. So this is what's going on between Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. This difference of opinion. Who? What is your inclination? Hiranyakashipu's inclination? No, I will not become Krishna conscious. Nor I want anybody else to become Krishna conscious, especially not my own son. If anyone else wants to become Krishna conscious, they can do, and I'll cut their head off. But my own son, he should not become Krishna conscious. It's a disgrace on the family. Hiranyakashipu said, this is a disgrace to our family. We come from a very prestigious family of demons. We have to uphold our prestige. What will people think if my own son goes against the national interest, family interest? He becomes a turncoat, a rascal. And Prahlad, he didn't care. Simply, he told Hiranyakashipu, you don't like what I'm doing, I don't like what you're doing. And why? He gave a good reason. That you're going to go to hell, my dear father, by your activities, you're going to go to hell. You're going to suffer. And people like you, people who follow you, they suffer. Of course, Hiranyakashipu was delivered by Prahlad. That was his great fortune, that a great devotee was born from his semen. That is his great fortune. But those who are the followers of Hiranyakashipu, they have to suffer immensely and intensely. And again and again and again, they have to suffer. So Prahlad is preaching. He's in the most difficult circumstances. He's preaching. Of course, preaching means there must be some difficult circumstances because we're going among the followers of Hiranyakashipu. Or even, we see here, in India, people have a tendency to be pious, but they're influenced by the followers of Hiranyakashipu. That influences them. Otherwise, people in this country are meant to be pious. So they have so many wrong ideas. So giving them these books, that means to give them the right idea that people can understand. Chanting, they're attracted to. Practically, you'll find, especially in Gujarat, any sadhu comes, immediately they welcome. Whatever his idea is, maybe Swami Narayan or Asharam Bapu, anything. They like sadhus. You'll find so many sadhus in Gujarat, come from North India. Because they know, Gujarati people, they like sadhus. If you go, they'll feed you, they'll respect you, everything. So that tendency is there. That tendency is there to respect sadhus. But unfortunately, most of these sadhus, they are in the sampradaya of Hiranyakashipu. They're not properly formed. Just like you see, Hiranyakashipu again became Ravana. And Ravana, what did he do? He dressed up as a sadhu to cheat Sita. So in the same way, so many sadhus are coming. For my Hindi study, I was reading about one book by Swami Ram Sukhdas, who is famous as a great teacher of bhakti. His books are published by this Gita Press. I got a good insight into why people, Hindi-speaking people, don't become Krishna conscious because they read Gita Press books. So he writes so many nice things that you are taking shelter of your home, your wife, your children, but you should take shelter of Paramatma. He likes to use the word Paramatma, not Krishna. And then he says that just as we are dependent upon Paramatma for our existence, so Paramatma is dependent upon us for his existence. Without the Paramatma, our life has no meaning. So the Paramatma without the jivas also has no meaning. So this is rascal. He's presenting bhakti, but why Paramatma is just, he's crippled without us. No, it's completely wrong idea. We are totally dependent on God. He's not at all dependent upon us. He thinks that God is just something like us. He's got the wrong idea. And this is very, very dangerous. In the name of bhakti, you should surrender to God, they're writing. You should take shelter of Him. Everything else is temporary. And then what is God? He's just, He's dependent on us as we are dependent on Him. This is all rascal. They want to drag Him down to our level. So in so many ways, they are teaching the wrong idea. Therefore, the right idea has to be given. Prabhupada's books is the right idea. Every word, every line, clearly the right idea. And the effect is there, very definitely. The effect is there. Just like I see, now I'm just speaking privately, it's not for repeating, that our professor who's teaching me Hindi, he's a very nice pious man with the idea, he's not interested in material aggrandizement. He's not interested in name, fame, money, prestige. He's interested in serving, and he's very much, his life is dedicated to serving others, and he's very much enthralled, even after so many years of seeing our ISKCON devotees. Still, he's very much impressed that Western people can give up all their opulence and come to India to preach Krishna Bhakti. So he likes the spirit of bhakti and all these things. But at the same time, because he was brought up in such a way, he's very much leaning, tendency towards impersonalism. He's not envious in that, not naturally envious, but because he's been brought up in that way, people in that, especially in that time, if they're to read spiritual literature or to hear spiritual topics, they'll hear the impersonal idea. So, even though all God inclinations are there, the wrong idea. So, giving Prabhupada's books means to give the right idea. And we see, you'll see this, that generally those who are younger now in India, they've got this Shankaracharya, Vivekananda, all these impersonal ideas. They're not much influence, not like the previous generation. You may think they're much influence, but compared to the previous generation, they're much, 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 much better. This is definitely due to the influence of Prabhupada's movement, Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, how has it come? It doesn't just come automatically. It wasn't just like, how did everyone in India become so much influenced by impersonalism? It wasn't just all of a sudden just happened, but because Shankaracharya preached, and then Vivekananda became very prominent because they thought he'd done such a wonderful thing. He went to Chicago and said, "My dear brothers and sisters," and everyone, what a wonderful thing to say, "My dear brothers and sisters." People say, "Oh, what a wonderful thing to say." Everyone, they can quote this line from Vivekananda's speech, "My dear brothers and sisters." As a result of that, people think he's so wonderful. So, he's become very prominent because he went and preached in the Western countries. Actually, even from the external point, what did he do? He had one famous follower from the Western countries who was a woman, and that's all. That's, it was Sister Nivedita, some Irish, some stupid woman. So that was all. That's in America, if you say Vivekananda, no one's heard of him. No one said, "Had you ever heard of Vivekananda when you were playing your drums in Croatia?"
No.
"You ever heard of him?"
No.
No one's ever heard of him. "You heard of Krishna, Hare Krishna?" Yeah, so no one's ever. But they think, oh, he had said. So he became very much advertised as a great spiritual leader who influenced the Western countries. So people, they look up to him highly, and he's all rubbish, rascal, nonsense ideas. As Prabhupada points out in that book, sort of knowledge, just translated from Bengali. The Shankaracharya. Maybe you don't see them again. But how much influential that is, we can see. I'm seeing myself, how much change. In the Western countries also, so much change. How people, there are so many people, they're at least they accept the principles of reincarnation and become vegetarian. Of course, there's a lot of work to do. But definitely, Prabhupada's books are having their effect. These books are going out. Prabhupada, in his books, he's just so clear and strong, to the point. Everything, this Bhagavad Gita as it is, that is like a hammer for every wrong idea, especially in that Bhagavad Gita as it is. Demigod worship, impersonalism has been completely smashed, and cheating religion, everything, and established again and again and again. That devotional service to Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, very clearly drummed in. So even anyone who reads that book, they may not understand, because after all, they may not understand all the points, because after all, it's deep philosophy, and to understand everything is not so easy. But if they read, they'll get... if you read Bhagavad Gita as it is, then again and again and again, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrender to Him, everything else is useless, which is what Krishna is saying, which is why it's called Bhagavad Gita as it is. So anyone who reads that is certainly going to get the right idea, even if they don't follow it completely. Just like yesterday, I was speaking with one lawyer. So he's an intelligent man. And lawyers, they deal in ideas, concepts, arguments. A lawyer has to understand what is the essence of any situation. So he's understood. He's not following means. He's vegetarian, this and that, but he's not chanting 16 rounds. Yesterday he promised to chant 16 rounds. But anyway, he got the point. By reading Prabhupada's books, he got the point that yes, devotional service to Krishna is the only auspicious path. Everything else is useless. Everyone else is cheating. And we find that. Even in Bangladesh, where the people are... they're inclined to kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, but they're also very much inclined to sahajyaism, bogus ideas, bogus gurus. And even actually I spent many years there fighting with our devotees who were saying, well, we shouldn't speak strongly, we should just be nice to people. And I'm saying, no, we should tell. Everything else is cheating. So we're finding that even though our devotees, they just go out and they do some kind of a show, and they don't... they give some lecture and everyone says, oh, very nice, but they don't speak very strongly the truth that all your fish eating is rascaldom and bogus, and all your gurus are bogus, because they don't tell you not to eat fish. They themselves eat fish. So many things. But even so, our devotees are shocked that people come in saying that they're telling them, I've read Prabhupada's books, and that from reading Prabhupada's books, which you sold me, thank you, it was very kind of you, from reading Prabhupada's books, I understand that all these gurus are cheating us. Why don't you tell people? They're understanding from reading Prabhupada's books. They get the idea very clearly, very straightforwardly, despite so much conditioning. That conditioning, millions of lifetimes, and even in this lifetime, so much conditioning. The words just go, Prabhupada's words, they just cut through. Those who are sincere, as Prabhupada said, those who are sincere, they will appreciate these books, which again brings us to the point of this class. Those who are not sincere, they won't take this. They won't take Krishna consciousness very seriously. Those who are more sincere, when they get these books, they appreciate very much. It's like in Russia now, so many letters are coming that I read your book. Now I feel that 40 years of my life I lived in complete darkness. Now for the first time, I'm getting some real knowledge. Please send me all your books. Please, like, so many letters are coming every day. People have just been reading the book. Oh, this is reality. Vithayatam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. And Krishna says, anything which is not in relationship to me, anything which is conceived as being not in relationship with me, because everything is in relationship with Krishna. But the consciousness that something is separate from Krishna, that is, what is it? It's all useless. Any idea that is not in Krishna consciousness is all useless. So actually people are living uselessly. Without Krishna, it's useless. And devotees, they can see them. Devotees, they're living among the people, they're living in the town, going to the villages, they also eat, sleep, pastule, all these things. So they may seem like ordinary people, but their consciousness is different. They see how everyone is wasting their life, how they're wasting their time, how they're struggling, uselessly endeavoring for that which is of no benefit to them. Therefore, the devotee, he lives among the people for the purpose of uplifting them, which is another very important verse of Prahlad Maharaj. No, it doesn't come just here. It comes later on. That's in the prayers of Prahlad, where he says that, what is that verse? Molang charanti vichane naparata nishtam. What is that verse? How does that begin?
Prayena deva mana
svabhi mukti kama monam charanti vichane naparata nishtam sho chetato vimokasa. What is it? Sho chetato. No, it's the same. I'm lamenting for them. You see. Sho chetato vimokasam naparata nishtam. Maya sukha mudra tovi mudha. Prahlad Maharaj says that, my dear Lord, I'm quite satisfied being your devotee, but prayena deva maniha. So he says there are many. Yes. He says that there are many sadhus. They're simply content to do their own bhajan. But as far as I am concerned, I see everyone is suffering in material life. I'm not interested in my own liberation. Let me do something to help others, to get them liberated. So this mood of Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada, in 1976, he was translating these books and giving class. What used to happen, Prabhupada used to give class on the Bhagavatam, the section he was translating. So it was some books which we never had, we'd never seen. So it was very exciting to hear, what is this? Something we didn't know. We didn't know the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada was telling day by day. So devotees are saying, Prabhupada is exactly in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Means he has this mood that I don't want to be liberated myself. And let all the others be liberated. Let me work hard to liberate them. And then preaching strongly against the demoniac civilization with great compassion to save them. Prabhupada was completely absorbed, especially when he was translating this section. He was completely absorbed in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Let me save others. Let me do something to save others. And depending on Krishna, that others, people may be against us, they may reject us. Let us do what we can to save others. So the whole thing is just changing the inclination. Our inclination is towards material life. But the business of the devotee is to bring his inclination towards Krishna. That means training. Training means taking instruction and applying that in our life. And that's for ourselves, making our own mati, our own inclination towards Krishna. Krishna mati rastu. Vaishnava sannyasi gives blessings. People come approaching for blessings. Yes, this is the blessing. May you be Krishna conscious. And someone who's already in Krishna consciousness, they come to a sannyasi for blessing. Krishna mati rahu. May you remain in Krishna consciousness. So the whole thing, the inclination, our own inclination has to be brought towards Krishna by the process of devotional service, applying our mind in devotional service. And duty of the devotee is to very carefully hear and chant about Krishna so that his inclinations will go towards Krishna. Otherwise, his inclinations will go towards everything, vritayartham, that which is not in relationship with Krishna, that which is nonsense. Otherwise, our inclinations will go towards karmi food, karmi music, sports, all kinds of nonsense. Because we're not training our consciousness in Krishna consciousness. So, Vitertam, everything which is not in relation, conceived of in relation to Krishna, that should be given up. And the whole world going on this idea, let us be separate from Krishna. Devotee's duty is to try to bring the people around, bring them around to Krishna, bring them into Krishna consciousness. Going, chanting, people will be attracted. Even those who are not attracted, they will hear, that will enter their consciousness. Even those who are not attracted to chanting, they'll become attracted by hearing again and again. We see that in different parts of the world. Many demoniac people who hate the chanting, by exposure again and again, our devotees, if they go in the same city again and again and again for months and years, you'll find some people protest. They don't like it, but after some time, they also become attracted. They can't help themselves, because the very nature of Krishna consciousness is that it's all attractive, because Krishna is all attractive. So in this regard, I have a collection here of quotes from Prabhupada about this. So I'd like to read just one of them, which gives a little encouragement to book distribution and preaching. This is a letter from Prabhupada written in 1972. My dear Sudama, please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter dated November the 14th, 1972. November the 14th. And I've noted the contents with care. Yes, we shall base our preaching work on Lord Chaitanya's formula, Sankirtan. I believe this was in reply because they'd done some kind of theatrical performance they had rock music and all kinds of special effects and all this kind of thing. So Prabhupada wasn't against it, but it seemed that there would have been some problem with that. So Prabhupada says, we shall base our preaching work on Lord Chaitanya's formula, Sankirtan. After all, he is God, and if he recommends, what is the question of failure? That is not possible. If we simply stick to this program as I have done it since the beginning, namely kirtan, preaching, kirtan, distribution of prasadam, if you do like this only, that will be sufficient. Of course, you may make the kirtan as nice as possible with dancing, many kols, kartals, conscious, and if you preach sincerely, anyone will listen and become convinced. The potency of Krishna consciousness movement does not come from some outside showing. No, it is the transcendental sound vibration of Hare Krishna mantra and the words of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. So now go on and develop the things in this spirit. That will be nice. We are not interested to attract millions of men to see some show. Better we attract one sincere soul to join us in ecstatic chanting and hearing. That will be of real value. And distribute books, as many as possible. If anyone hears something philosophy from us, that will help him. But if he purchases one book, that may turn his life. So selling books is the best preaching activities. Sell books, hold a kirtan in public places like schools and colleges, preach. If you practice these things, and try to improve them more and more, simply by your practicing sincerely, that simple program will please Krishna the most, and you will see that very soon. Hoping this meets you in good health, your ever well-wisher, E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So Prabhupada is saying that we're not interested in attracting millions of men to see some show. Rather, if we attract only one sincere soul by sincerely preaching, that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that we don't want many people to come. We do. But the point is, we don't want many people to come just to say, just see, I'm such a big preacher, and so many people are coming. We should keep our message very pure, preach very sincerely. So, we want many people to come, but to the right point. In India or anywhere, if you preach a little bit watered down, just like in India, if you buy milk, you'll find that it's watered down. Put water in the milk. So you can sell it at a cheaper price, like this. And those who are cheap, they will buy cheap price, watery milk. So we can get many people if we just water things down a bit. We just don't preach anything very clearly. Just, yes, whatever you're doing is okay, and everything's nice, and tell a few stories and tell people, oh, you're a great devotee, even though he knows nothing about the principles of devotional service. If you flatter people, many people will come. If you give the real thing, maybe not so many will come. But we want real devotees. This is the point. So, I think the preaching field you're moving in, you have a nice combination of people. You'll find many people are enthusiastic and they will take the real thing. Only they need some guidance. But we shouldn't adjust things to make it artificially more palatable. Krishna consciousness, surrender to Krishna, that is the most palatable thing. If people don't feel inclined towards that is because they're diseased. So we should give the real thing in such a way that they can come to understand and accept that the real thing is Krishna consciousness, surrender to Krishna. So there are many such letters like this which time to time I can read some of these letters. Hare Krishna.
This verse, you know, just especially the first I remember, not exactly sure where it's but Srila Prabhupada speak about these two words, you know, Charvanam, which he said
repeatedly. He would.
Everyone may not know the specific context. Prabhupada would use them about sugarcane.
Right.
Some person is chewing sugarcane and he throws it away, and someone else. Well, there may be something.
There might be something there.
So in the same way, so many people, Charvanam, everyone's been chewing it repeatedly since day one,
since time.
Your ancestors, all our ancestors, and their ancestors, they've all been
chewing
away.
Enthusiastically.
But still, they can't hear them.
No juice. No juice in material life. Juice is enchanting and dancing. People will appreciate that also. In India, they'll appreciate that. Even the Western countries also. People can see there's something real, happiness that we're not getting. Here, they'll appreciate also that so many sadhus. Some people, sometimes they say that to us. And so many people come and they speak and this and that, but only you have this chanting and dancing.
Chanting is the magic. They have some chanting in, you know, the part of the museums in what we call the mall in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one devotee down here, I think he was saying. He quoted Srila Prabhupada saying, chanting is the magic.
I think he made a cassette called that. Yeah, he did. No, I saw it advertised. Chanting is the magic.
I like that you said, you know, you don't have to compromise or change, make our system more attractive. Personally, I feel more attractive by the system of Vishnu Jan Swami. Kirtan, you travel to colleges, then present in different persons, they have a lot of rock and roll groups, and they put their Krishna conscious lyrics. But to me, and I can see the result, at least in terms of members of devotees made, Vishnu Jan Swami, they had a lot more happening.
Mm-hmm.
12, how many buses they had to travel all over the USA. And there are many different groups that travel in different places, but in terms of actually how many people have changed, or drastically changing their lives, I don't think
it did. Well, it's said that will attract people who are so far out that they won't listen to Hare Krishna Kirtan at all. But it's a fact that the chanting with Dhamma
Prasad,
what Prabhupada is saying in this also. So like anything else, it may have its usage, but we should never think that that's the same as chanting Hare Krishna. Yes. With, you know, no, never. This is the essence of our movement. Chanting, kirtan, sankirtan, chanting with Dhamma Prasad. There's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the essence. Even books we're distributing, but we're asking people, we're not expecting that everyone will become a book distributor. We're hoping that everyone will chant Hare Krishna. And the books, the book distribution, that's the soldiers on the front lines. They do. But not everyone is going to be. Of course, even Grihastas living at home, they can do it, they can help with that. But the essence, everyone has to chant Hare Krishna. That is the essence. Is the essence of the essence, and so everyone should chant Hare Krishna. The books that will change people's hearts, books and the chanting will change people's hearts so that they can become convinced to take up this chanting seriously. Now the chanting that will change people's hearts, and that's very attractive to people, but to get their mati, their intonation fixed, they need philosophy also. You need the books. Both things are essential. And prasad and distribution. It's also very important. That was his whole program. Yeah.
He personally books himself in the and he encouraged the books on his books, his ology, then Mahabhu.
Right, his first followers, his first followers who he sent for setting up this movement, the first thing he had them do was write books. The first thing he didn't send them. He sent Nityananda traveling, preaching like this. He sent Nityananda for preaching, but for establishing his movement, he first wrote the books. He had the Goswamis write the books, and then Jiva Goswami sent Narottam Srinivas Shamananda to go and distribute this knowledge. So Chaitanya, he personally instructed Rupa and Sanatana. This is what you should write. Hari Bhakti Vilas, among other things. Out of that's required also. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda traveling widely encouraging people, take it up. Then he wanted Rupa and Sanatana to write books. This is what, now you're taking it up, this is what you should do to solidify your devotional practices and to give the philosophy so that people can understand. Otherwise it wouldn't. Right. Otherwise it wouldn't have lasted. It can't last. Without proper philosophical understanding, it won't last. Won't continue. That's why our devotees, they also have to study very carefully. It's like I was telling Niketa, you should study 2 hours a day. 2 hours you may not be able to do if you're out in the village, this and that. There's a general principle, you should try to do that. At least 1 hour a day. And if you can't, then on your free day, there should be some free days also, where you can, some free time, you should read extra. Very important, most important, study these books. Any more? A lot of comments?
You were talking about the, here in Gujarat, people are, they have kind of a mile for all over India, I would say, Scotch, Indian, Prabhupada said that the Mayavadi philosophy has promoted the modern materialistic I had the realization that these people who have this, who got affected by Vivekananda and Ramakrishna and all these other Mayavadis, because that their preaching, whatever they call it, it didn't actually satisfy their hearts.
Yeah.
That's how it promotes materialism, because then they become